when you come up against an obstacle or hurdle, you continue to press on. Amen? Amen. How many ready for the word of the Lord? All right, let's open our Bibles this morning to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. This morning I'm continuing with the series I started last Sunday, Perfect Prayer. In Romans chapter 8, verse 26. And I'm reading out of the Authorized King James Version of the Bible today. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself, that is, the Spirit himself, maketh intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Verse 26 again, likewise the Spirit. Everybody say the Spirit. The Holy Spirit also helps our infirmities. Beloved, we have infirmities, but the Spirit helps us. Paul clearly tells the Roman Christians that we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. You only think you know, but you don't know. And I'm simply calling this message today, when you don't know the words to pray. When you don't know the words to pray. Now last week we were in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, where the Apostle John wrote, "For this is the confidence that we have in him, that whatever we ask according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions desired of him." John said, this is the confidence. Somebody shout confidence. Can an imperfect person pray a perfect prayer? Now, I want to caution you that confidence is not perfection. Is that right? You see, confidence doesn't neutralize your faults and the defects you may have in your life. Confidence doesn't neutralize some essential detail that you need to know but you don't know when you pray. You see, confidence doesn't neutralize the fact that your prayer still won't be exact and it won't be precise. Some are taking a step further today. And I'm going to say you need more than confidence, because you still don't know how to pray as you ought. Is that right? Now, the only way a perfect person can pray a perfect prayer when he don't have the words to say is with the help of the Holy Spirit. Is with the help of the Holy Spirit. Now, Paul says very clearly here, likewise the Spirit also helps our infirmities. You may not want to admit it, but every one of us have infirmities. In your humanity, you have infirmities. This word infirmity simply means, it doesn't mean sickness, doesn't mean disease. It means your human weaknesses and limitations. Every one of us have limitations. Every one of us have weaknesses. And when it comes to prayer, we need to humble ourselves and be in agreement with God that we really don't know how to pray as we ought. But the Spirit Himself will help our infirmities. You know, scientists have said that only 10% of the human brain is even used. Other scientists have said, no, that's not so. It's only 10% of the brain's function that science understands. So there's two arguments. But either way, there's another 90% that you need help with. Are you hearing me? And likewise, the Spirit helps our infirmities. I'm operating at 10% here. And I live in this three-dimensional world. You see, I can only see and observe images and objects. I can observe their height, their length, and their width. We live in a three-dimensional world. And so you may think you know all about your problem. You may think you know all about somebody else's situation, but you only know at best 10% about it. You know not how to pray as you ought. Turn to the Gospel of John. John's Gospel. When you get there, say amen. Chapter 14, the Gospel of John. Verse 16, Jesus says to his disciples, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter." That's an important word there. Comforter. "That he may abide with you forever." For how long? "Even the Spirit of truth." Please notice he didn't say the Spirit of confidence. "Even the Spirit of truth." And if something is the truth, then it's perfectly true. "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither know him, but you know him, because he dwells with you and shall be in you." Then Jesus goes on to tell his disciples, "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." When do I need him to come to me? When do I need my help? I need my help when I'm ready to pray, because I don't know how to pray as I ought. So I need the Spirit to help me with my human limitations and weaknesses. Jesus says, "I will pray the Father to send you another comforter." This word comforter is the word parakletos. And it means one who walks alongside to help. But the word also means an intercessor. Jesus is telling his disciples, "I will not leave you without an intercessor. And he will abide with you forever." And how many know that if you have the Spirit of God in you now, you will always have the Spirit of God in you? Come on. God doesn't put his Spirit in us and take it away from us. In other words, when the Spirit of God dwells in us, we are beginning to live in eternity from the day we accept Jesus Christ, baptized by one Spirit into the body of Christ. And that Spirit is never taken away from us. Jesus describes the Spirit as the Spirit of truth. He says the world can't receive him. They can't receive him because they don't know him. They don't see him. They don't know him. But he says, you do. Because he lives inside of you. "I will not leave you comfortless." This word comfortless is the word orphaness. Jesus said, "I'm not going to leave you like orphans. I won't leave you fatherless. I won't leave you parentless. I won't leave you as an orphan." Jesus said, "I will pray the Father to send you another comforter." He is saying a comforter like me. He walked alongside his disciples. He prayed for his disciples. And he says, "When I go home to be with the Father, I'm going to pray the Father to send you another comforter, a parakletos, an intercessor, somebody to walk alongside of you. The first point I want to make is simply this. When it comes to prayer, forget about how you sound. Forget about sounding and pretty and looking all pretty. Sounding religious. No. When it comes to prayer, the first promise in Romans 8:26, the Spirit will help you. The Spirit will help you. Now, I always teach you all to pray the Word. But you only know you can only pray the Word you know. Now, nobody in here knows all the Word. So you pray what you know, but what you don't know, you need His help. Is that right? The Spirit, look at somebody, tell them the Spirit will help you. Somebody may say, well, I really don't know how to pray. Beloved, all prayer is talking to God from your hearts. And if you come to a place where you just don't have the words to say, you don't have the words to pray, He promised that the Spirit Himself will help your infirmities. Is that right? He will help our infirmities. How does He do that? Well, He makes groanings through us. He makes groanings within us and through us, which cannot be uttered in articulate speech. Now, this is when the church get real nervous. I don't know about all that speaking in tongues stuff. Well, here's what Paul said to the Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 15. Paul says, what is it then? I will pray with my understanding. I will also pray in the Spirit. I will sing with my understanding. I will also sing with the Spirit. How many know what it is to pray in the Spirit? How many know what it is to sing in the Spirit? When we worship and praise God, we ought to feel free to sing in the Spirit. How are you going to worship God like God deserves to be worshipped without the help of the Spirit? God is a Spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. But the truth is, we need some help. We need some help, not just in prayer, but we need help in worshiping God. Is that right? So the Spirit Himself will make groanings in us and through us in utterances that cannot be articulated in intelligent speech. And He who searches the heart, when you allow the Holy Spirit to pray in you and through you, the Holy Spirit is searching your heart the same way your computer conducts a search on the hard drive for a foul. He's searching the heart. And He who knows the mind of the Spirit. You see, you're trying to pray to God with your mind, but God really knows the mind of the Spirit. Some people say, well, God knows my heart. He certainly does, but the question is, do you know what's in your heart? You see, the heart is deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? It's wicked above all things. Who can know it? But what the Spirit does, when He's praying in us and through us, He is searching what's in our hearts. Glory to God. Look at Psalms 139. Go there very quickly. Psalms 139. Psalms 139. Look at verse 1. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my sitting and my uprising. Thou knowest my down sitting, rather, and my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down. Thou art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before. In other words, God is always before us and He's behind us. And laid Thy hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain to it. What is the psalmist talking about? He is talking about the omniscience of God. God knows everything. He knows it not in just three dimensions. He knows it in unlimited dimensions. Because he's God. Now flip over to Jeremiah 17. You're a couple books over to the right. Look at verse 10. I, the Lord, search the heart. Listen to the words of the Lord through the prophet. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins. In other words, I test the thoughts of your mind. Hello, somebody. Every thought that we've had in our minds hasn't been the right thought. But God will test the thoughts of our minds. I try the reins and even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. Now, this is why it's so important to understand you have what you say. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. Come on. And God says, I will search your hearts. I will even test the thoughts in your mind. And I will give to every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. There's a song we should sing in the old church that really resounds from these two passages. Psalms 139, Jeremiah 17:10. We used to sing a song in the old church, search me, Lord. Search me, Lord. If you find anything that shouldn't be in me, is that right? Take it out, strengthen me. I want to be right, I want to be saved, I want to be whole. Search me, Lord. Search me, Lord. This is what the Holy Spirit does. He searches our hearts. And he who knows the mind of the Spirit, he make intercessions for us according to the will of God. We have moved beyond confidence, and now we've entered perfection. Now, Hebrews tells us, Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, Hebrews chapter 8, verse 1, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12. Hebrew tells us that Jesus Christ sits at the right hand of the throne of majesty where he ever liveth to make intercessions for you and I. Now, stay with me now. If the Holy Spirit is praying in me and through me here on earth, and the Son of God is at the right hand of the Father's throne of majesty making intercessions for us. That's perfect prayer, beloved. That's perfect prayer. That's perfect prayer. Holy Spirit helping me on earth. Jesus interceding for me in heaven. That's perfect prayer. Thank God we're not left on resources when we're facing a problem. We're facing a challenge in life. Thank God we're not left on resources. Because sometimes we just don't know the right words to pray. You ever been there, been over so overwhelmed? And you really didn't know how to pray for yourself, didn't know how to pray for somebody else? My God, but the Holy Spirit helps our infirmities. Stay with me now. Now, I want to raise the question before I take my seat. Do all things really work together for good? I had a pastor to text me last night. He wanted me to pray for him because he's been diagnosed with colon cancer. That is not good. When you're in an automobile accident, that is not good. Whether you sustain property damage or bodily injury, it's not good. Stay with me now. If you're married and you come home and find out that your spouse has ran off with the dog and the cat with the cable guy, that is not good. But yet we quote this verse, Romans 8:28. Oftentimes we use it as an excuse. All things work together for good. Now I need you to stay with me. If you miss this, you're going to miss the whole series. It is true that our God is a sovereign Lord. There are two expressions or two titles, actually there's one title, but two ways of saying it, that God is Jehovah Adonai, which means the Lord God Supreme. Stay with me now. The expression throughout the Old Testament, these words, O Lord God, and the expression, the Lord God, oftentimes, these two expressions, they're translated from the word Adonai. Adonai simply means the Lord God Supreme. Our God is a sovereign God. And to be a sovereign one, he possesses all authority in heaven and here on earth. So it is true that God is at work in everything. And there are no, there are isolated incidents. No. God works in everything. But if you could ask Joseph right now, the son of Jacob, was it good when your brothers betrayed you? Was it good when they sold you into slavery? Well, they first cast him into the pit. Then they sold him into slavery. Was it good when you were in prison? When you were false accused. Was that good, Joseph? He will tell you that was not good. But he will tell you this. Even though my brothers meant it for evil, God intended it for good. Why? Joseph had a purpose. He had a purpose. But everything that happened to us in life is not good. But there's nothing that happens that God doesn't know about. He's a sovereign Lord. He works in all things. There are no isolated incidents. God is there. But everything that happens to us is not good. And Romans 8:28 didn't say that. What it said was that all things would work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. But the question begs, well, how could that be? Now, let's take the passage in context. Let's stop cherry-picking verse 28 and making up stuff and excuses. You get foreclosed, that's not good. You lose your job, that's not good. But that don't stop sovereign Lord. That don't stop sovereign God is still in charge. Now, let me walk you through this so you can get it. Likewise, verse 26, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not how to pray as we ought. But the Spirit himself will make intercessions for us with groanings. Oh, my God. Sometimes you get to a place in prayer, you don't know what to say to God. Your limited brain has just, come on now. It's like the brain don't just hit a ceiling or something. And all you could do is rely on the help of the Holy Spirit. And you begin to groan inside and moan and begin to speak in a heavenly language. Why? Because the Spirit is praying in you and through you. He's making intercessions for you according to the will of God. And you didn't know the fullness of the will of God because of your limitations. How does he work? Now he who searches the heart, he knows what is the mind of spirit. So when you're praying, the Lord is searching your heart for your motives, your agendas. Come on. And a lot of times we pray with the wrong spirit, or we pray with the attitude that here's what we want God to do. No. God doesn't do what we want him to do. God does what he wants to do. When he wants to do it, how he wants to do it. You know what? That's one of the things that makes him God. And he's searching the hearts. Because he already knows what is the mind of the spirit, because he and the spirit are on the same page. We're the ones not on the same page sometimes. So he who knows the mind of the spirit, he make intercessions for us according to the will of God. The next word is and, conjunction. Tie the two thoughts together. And we know that, and we know what? As a result of the Spirit helping our infirmities, as a result of the Spirit searching our hearts, as a result of the Spirit knowing the mind of the Spirit, as a result of the Holy Spirit in us and through us, praying for us according to the will of God, as a result of that, and we know that all things work together for good to them who love God. To them who are the call according to purpose. Joseph had a purpose. So the things that happened to Joseph wasn't good, but sovereign Lord, he took all that bad stuff and he said, I'm still God. I'll make it work together for your good. Let me tell you something. The devil, the enemy, can't do you no harm. Come on. Don't worry about that person that's coming against you. God's greater than that person. God's greater than your enemies. And the truth is, if God is your God and you humble yourself to God, you don't have any enemies. They're the enemies of God. How many hear what I'm saying? I believe that because I have a purpose, no matter what happens to me, whether I call it good or bad, whether I understand it or I don't understand it, I don't believe God would abandon his purpose for me. So even if I made a wrong turn to the left, because he's God, he's going to work it out where I get back on the right. Because he's God. Talking about perfect prayer. All things work together for good to those that the Spirit pray in and through because they love God and they're called according to his purpose. Is that right? This is why all things work together for good when we pray in the Spirit. That's the only reason why all things work together for good. Because somebody has prayed in the Spirit. Now, let's not get it twisted like I told you last week. God does not work to make us happy. Happiness is your responsibility, not God's. God works for us to fulfill his purpose. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. In whom we have obtained an inheritance. Being predestinated, in other words, he decided before time. Come on. He determined it before you got here. And because he's sovereign Lord, can't no devil in hell change it. The only person can change it is you in your disobedience. But in whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose. Somebody shout purpose. Being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things, even the bad stuff. He worketh all things according after the counsel of his own will. Man, that makes me want to shout. Isn't that good news? I don't have to be the one to feel like that I'm in control of my life. I don't have to be the one to try to figure everything out. All I need to do is be obedient. And when I get to a place where I just don't have the words to pray, then I need to yield my spirit to the Holy Spirit and allow him to speak to me. Come on, to pray in me and through me with groanings which cannot be uttered in articulate speech. Some of you are too pretty to do that. I was on my face this morning praying in the Spirit. Worshiping God over there, singing in the Spirit. Make no mistake about it. You need help. Look at somebody and say, you need help. Make no mistake about it. I don't care about your academic training, your pedigree, how many letters you get after your name. You need help. And I realize that. Many people have looked at me, and it's been said more than once. Well, I would think because he has all those degrees, I have letters behind my name. But you know, they're nothing but dung. You never get to a place where you don't need God. And I'm fortunate enough to have been brought up in a family and in an atmosphere, in an environment where I was always taught God is always first. And without God, you can do nothing. I don't want to sound like a doctor when I preach. I want to sound like my help has come. And I need help when I get up here to preach. I'm up here to read you a manuscript or read to you out of a book. I'm up to you here to have you hear what the Spirit is searching in my heart, bringing up from my heart out to you. That's real preaching. Real preaching doesn't happen unless it comes from the heart and the soul. That's real preaching. I need help. I need help when I preach. I need help to be a man, to be a father, to be a husband. I need help. I need help to pastor this church. I need help. When you don't have words to pray, then Jesus says, I will pray the Father, and he will send you another comforter, an intercessor, who will abide in you forever. I will not leave you like an orphan. I'll come to you. This is what happens oftentimes when you pray in the Spirit. The Lord by his Spirit will come to you and he will put a word in your mind. He'll drop a word in your heart. You won't be able to articulate it, but you'll know in your heart that I'm supposed to make this decision. I'm supposed to go see this person today. Come on. Many times you're driving down the highway and the Holy Spirit will say, don't go the usual way. Go this way. But the natural mind says, that's out of the way. No, that's right in the way. That's right in the way. This is how we live, beloved. We live acknowledging the fact that we can't make it without the help of the Holy Spirit. So when you don't have words to pray, pray in the Spirit. What is it then? I will pray with my limited understanding, but I will also pray in the Spirit. I will sing with my limited understanding, but I will also sing in the Spirit. Glory to God. This is perfect prayer. The Holy Spirit praying in you and through you prays a perfect prayer. Jesus sitting at the right hand of the throne of majesty, interceding, ever living it, making intercession for us. He's praying for us. The Holy Spirit's praying through us. My God, Jesus and the Holy Spirit praying about little me, that's perfect prayer. That's perfect prayer. Glory to God. Thank God for confidence. But you need more than confidence. You need the help of the Holy Ghost. Did you hear what I said? You need the help of the Holy Ghost. And I am so glad that I received the Holy Spirit when I did. And my life changed and have been the same since. I don't know how people say they can even go out and witness or minister the word, preach and teach without the help of the Holy Spirit. You see, I come up with a little flimsy outline. That's so I don't take you from Genesis to Revelation. We're not here 2 hours. My wife would tell you, I used to preach so long. And we had metal chairs in our church. And people would get up when you say, let them stand, like they wounded. Now, this is a true story. I remember we took many of our leaders, about 20 of them or more, to a conference up in Michigan. And they also had metal seats for them to sit on at this conference. And I'm there as a participant. I'm not on the dais. I'm not one of the speakers. I'm there as a participant to learn. And I got up from that metal seat. I looked around at some of my members and I said, do y'all feel like this after I finished preaching? Yes, Pastor. And ever since then, I stopped preaching for an hour and 45 minutes. And even in this church, I try not to preach more than 35 to 40 minutes because you can only retain so much. But if you don't get anything else out of what I've said over the last 35 minutes, I'm almost there. What do you do when you don't have the words to pray? You just need to just be still and acknowledge the Holy Spirit. Oh, my God. You may hear, Now, all of a sudden, you begin to speak in a language you never heard before. That's exactly what Paul told the Romans. He makes groanings in us in articulate speech. And speech cannot be uttered. It cannot be uttered. You just don't understand it. You're not supposed to understand it. If you did, that would make you God. Hello? He is the only one omniscient. He is the only one omnipotent. Is that right? And he's always omnipresent. So when you don't have words to pray, pray in the Spirit. Yes, Sovereign Lord. Sovereign Lord works in all things. Nothing is isolated from him because he's God. But all things are not good. But if you love God and you've been called to his kingdom and God's got a purpose for your life, don't worry about what they did to you that was wrong. God will take the wrong and undo it and make it work for your good. Because nobody's going to circumvent the purpose of God for your life. How many hear what I'm saying? Do you get what I'm saying? Come on, how many believe you got a purpose today? Yeah, every hand should go up. You got a purpose, and you want to live out that purpose. Glory to God. Don't worry about the rest of them. You live out your purpose and know that God is at work for you. Your car break down the road, don't worry about it. That's not good, but you know what? God works in that. You don't have to send a 911 call to God and say, Lord, do you see what's happening here on the side of the road? He knew about it before it happened. And don't tell me, oh, well, that's good. All things work together for good. Do they? Here's what the Bible told us. Paul told the Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 18, I believe, he says, in everything, give thanks unto the Lord. He didn't say give thanks for everything, but in everything. And when you find yourself in the pit, give thanks to God. Not for being in the pit, but notwithstanding the pit, I'm going to praise you, Lord. That's the difference. So when you don't have the words to pray, invite the Holy Spirit to pray in you and through you. Would you lift your hands with me? Glory to God. Glory to God. Jesus said, I would pray the Father to send you another comforter, another paracletos, one who walks alongside of you, one who will be an intercessor for you. I won't leave you like an orphan. But I'll be a father to you. No matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through, no matter where you find yourself on your journey, Jesus said, I won't leave you. Neither will I forsake you to the end of the world. Just lift your hands right now and begin to worship God. Be thankful in your hearts for the Holy Spirit. Show gratitude that you're not alone. You thought you were all by yourself. You thought it was only you going through that difficult place, that rough spot. No, you were not alone. He was there. And you got to allow God to search our hearts. He knows what is the mind of the Spirit. And the Spirit will make intercession for us. He will pray in us and through us according to God's perfect will. Oh, my God. 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 Now, if you're here today and you haven't made your peace with Almighty God by accepting His Son, Jesus Christ, that's the only way to be at peace with God. For Jesus said, I am the way, the truth.